As you can tell by the subtitle, Grace believes that pre-trial publicity, as wielded by defense attorneys in the media, can and does pervert real justice. So that's the supposition, but where is the proof? Recently, two researchers looked at 300 federal murder trials from 1993 to 95. They researched every news story written about those trials. William E. Loges of Oregon State University is co-author of Free Press versus Fair Trials, Examining Publicity's Role in Trial Outcomes. Thanks for coming on, Bill.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So how many of these 300 got no coverage that you could tell?
70%.
And what was the conviction rate there?
The conviction rate for that was 79%.
Then you had different grades. Some trials got some coverage, some trials got a lot of coverage. How do you define some and a lot?
We had a low publicity condition where people got from 1 to 5 stories total written about the crime and trial. The conviction rate there was actually the highest. That was 92% of those people were convicted at trial. The moderate amount of publicity was between 5 and 10 stories, and that was, in fact, the lowest conviction situation. Only 68% of those were convicted. And then in the high condition, where there was 11 or more stories written about the crime and the trial, the conviction rate was 81%, just about equal to the rate for no publicity at all.
And so from all these numbers, you concluded what?
Concluded that the amount of publicity that a trial or a crime gets is not directly related to the outcome of the criminal trial.
Nancy Grace has a book and a TV show where she argues that defense attorneys do a lot of things to affect the outcome of the trial through the press, and people don't laugh her off the screen. In fact, a lot of people believe what she's saying, and, you know, maybe people think of Michael Jackson, Robert Blake, O.J. Simpson. They all walked. Why does it seem to be that a lot of publicity decreases the chance of conviction?
Well, the celebrity is likely to have some advantages that, say, a Scott Peterson or other high-publicity, non-celebrity defendant may not have. One is a fan base, you know, sympathetic people already, and the extent to which you're able to exclude those people completely from juries, you know, it might be tougher to do. It's also the case that by nature of being a celebrity, they may have more money to spend on a high-profile defense attorney. And so where Scott Peterson, for instance, had the benefit of counsel, you know, like Garagos, who's a very high-profile attorney, the amount of money that Garagos could spend defending Scott Peterson, getting DNA tests and all that sort of thing, is not likely to be the same amount they could spend if an O.J. Simpson is bankrolling the defense.
And so perhaps, in contradiction to the subtitle of Nancy Grace's book, high-priced defense attorneys, celebrity defendants, and a 24/7 media have hijacked our criminal justice system, you're suggesting what celebrity defendants have done is maybe hijacked the criminal justice system for celebrities.
To the extent that high-priced defense attorneys and former prosecutors like Nancy Grace are part of the criminal justice system, I think it's more reasonable to say the criminal justice system has hijacked our media. And to the extent that that's true, if there are any bad results, I think they have only themselves to blame.
All right. William Loges, co-author of the book Free Press vs. Fair Trials, Examining Publicity's Role in Trial Outcomes. Thanks very much.
It was a pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.